3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome back to the show, guys. We're going to talk about the Soul Series. We're going to talk about spring training standouts, and we're going to talk about the Ohtani thing, because who isn't talking about the Ohtani thing, right? I'm here with Chase. But first, Chase, before we talk about those things, you got to do something. You got to do something right to this camera over here.
All
right.
I suck.
Yep. Ah, we had a bet in one of the earlier podcasts. Will the Dodgers sweep or will they split? And Chase took sweep, I took split, and that was the punishment. How did that feel, Chase?
Well, both as a Dodger fan, as a bet, it feels pretty awful to...
Have to be one and one?
I mean, we'll go over that more. I have some feelings on that, but I mean, it was cool. It was good. It was whatever, you know?
That 162 game and O record,
gone.
Out the door. It's gone.
Gone.
What are like the best like opening series sort of like things that you see floating around the internet? I love like, oh, blah, blah, blah is on pace to hit 370 home runs this season, because they had like two in the first game or something like that.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. What about yours?
I don't know. I mean, the ERA of like not giving up a run all year, that's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Not that that happened in the Soul Series, but...
Just like you're going to start seeing that in the next couple of weeks now.
Or isn't there somebody who threw like a no-hitter on opening day but only went seven innings because of like pitch count? It's like, oh, this guy hasn't given up a hit all season.
Yeah. Oh, he's averaging a zero whip.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Or they completely bomb, and their ERA is 99. You know.
Yamamoto.
Yeah. Oof. Man. Now, with that being said, Chase, are you going back on any predictions, Rookie of the Year?
Because
I am. Let me just tell you real quick. I'm not going to go for my guy AL Cy Young. Potential Taj Bradley, taking him off the table. He's injured. Technically, I could do that because the AL has not begun. I'm gonna ride the coattails of Chase's prediction and go with Corbin Burns. I think that's a good pick on a good team, a great pitcher. This might be the year.
Yeah, I mean, solid pitcher there for the Orioles, and obviously had his years with the Brewers, and I think a little change of scenery is gonna propel him to that title. So we'll see though. There's a lot of good pitchers in the AL.
Hey, the season has officially begun. The Soul Series, Dodgers and Padres, two and a half weeks before real opening day began.
No, just actually a week before.
No, I'm saying like opening day is going to be like April 1st, 2nd, 3rd, that sort of weekend.
It's 28th.
Is it 28th?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a little earlier this year. Well, actually it's
I thought that was the freeway series. Am I mistaken or no?
No, right now it's the freeway series. The Dodgers play the Angels as they're speaking on Sunday.
Wow. So they really have no time to adjust back to the...
No, it's great. I mean, it's so crazy. They go from Korea straight back to spring training for three games and then right to the regular season again.
Wow. What do you think about this Soul Series? Do you think it's good, bad for the game of baseball? What were the highlights of it?
So My take on this is I think it's good for the game of baseball as far as getting other countries involved. Like, I have no problem with that. Like, for soccer, for us, English teams coming over. Like, you got Manchester City, Manchester United.
Raise that mic up towards your face a little bit more because I think you're speaking over it. Yeah, angle it up a little more. There we go, right there.
Yeah. But it's like the, you know, obviously baseball, we're the most talented country as far as, like, a baseball program or
that's
baseball
debatable.
League. Oh, for sure. No, it's not debatable.
What are you talking about, dude? In the like,
you're telling me MLB players aren't the top of the elite?
Oh,
baseball
the MLB
players?
League is the top. Yeah,
no,
but like the
USA.
Country you're saying.
No, I'm talking about the MLB League, which is a USA Canada league.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like the country of the United States. I don't know, man. There's a lot of good players that come from other countries that dominate the MLB. But yeah, as far as where do the best players play geographically, it's the United States.
So
they come to the MLB to play against the best. But Japan produces, well, you know, some of the best talent to come out of like the free agency foreign thing. Like they win that
you know, World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, World Baseball Classic, like every year that they play almost.
Yeah, I mean they're always one of the top competitors, but I'm just talking about like just competition, like organization. MLB, USA, Canada, whatever you wanna
Okay, sure. Yeah.
But anyways, I was just comparing it to like if the Premier League or come to the US, it's like a big deal for soccer fans in the US to see that.
Yeah.
So I compare it in that way to Korea, or next year is going to be Japan at the start of the year. So I think it's good to just spread like the best talent of baseball to other countries. However, at the timing, playing this early in the year, these guys aren't fully developed. We've seen a lot of flaws or a lot of mishaps in the game on Wednesday and Thursday. So we had the three pitch clock violations from the Padres that resulted in two walks and a ball. Mm. So these are just like mental errors that they're not quite, you know,
up to speed on.
And Muncy had two errors. Mm. Not that he's the best defender to begin with, yeah, but he had two fielding errors, and these are just some rusts that they're kind of getting off their chest. So for me, it's hard to give a regular season game this early on.
Yeah, but I would hang my hat on the fact that like it's two games out of a 162 game season.
Yeah, so it's not that big of a deal.
It's not like you're playing, you know, your NFL week one matchup in Korea like 2 weeks before the season starts, you know? Like I think it's a little different, you know?
But if you miss the game or the playoffs by one game,
that's what I was going to come back to. If you do miss the game or the playoffs by one game, that would suck. Yeah. But I mean, like in the new playoff format, it's like, you know, if you're missing the playoffs, you're probably got other bigger issues to be worrying about that you need to solve throughout the regular season, not from the first two games of the season.
But it could be a divisional winner rather than a wild card spot, which could prevent you from playing three extra games that you don't need to play.
Yeah, right? I guess. But I mean, I don't think that it's I think the good for the sport outweighs the negative for the players and the organization. I think it's good that baseball is a worldwide sport now.
Right.
And growing the game externally is only going to benefit not only the popularity of baseball, but also the talent that we're going to get, because people in Korea are going to take it more seriously. They're going to have those big league dreams. They want to play in America and on the biggest stage in the world for baseball.
Yeah.
And just reinforcing that dream in other countries, I feel like is going to give us a just gigantic pool of talented players, and we're only going to get more and more entertaining baseball and even challenge some of the ways that we play baseball today, because like in Asia, they play baseball way differently than how we play it in America. It's a lot small ball. It's a lot of hit and runs, bunts.
More fundamental.
Very traditional, right? Whereas in America, it's like, let's hit 220 and 50 bombs. And that guy's...
But is it America, or is it a lot of the Dominican, Cuban, Puerto Rican players that are bringing their flashy side to the game?
I don't know, dude. I was referring to Kyle Schwarber, the leadoff hitter, hitting sub 200, but with 50 bombs and just something ridiculous.
Right,
like that.
But I'm just talking about like these guys coming in and getting contracts because they provide a lot of pop, because they provide a lot of speed. They have that arm strength.
Yeah, so there's like a saying, right? You don't get off the island by not swinging the bat, right? They swing freely over there.
Exactly. So.
And that makes sense, you know? Like, I could see that. But when it comes to winning games, I think that's probably not the best strategy for an organization. I mean,
there's reasons why teams are building the way they are now, because numbers don't lie. You know, I mean, like, obviously with Moneyball, there was the on-base percentage, that being a big thing. But now the way to drive it runs is a home run ball.
Well, I think with Moneyball, that I think it's becoming an overcorrection on a problem that was happening back in the day. I think now, yeah, you're right. Like the strategy is like how many home runs can someone hit? Like home runs are sexy, And if you could hit more of those as a player, you're going to get a bigger payday, bigger number in free agency. However, like, it's coming back to bite some of these players, like Joey Gallo, who is probably only good for home runs right now. I don't think he has the kind of value that someone like, I don't know, let's look at the second baseman on the Phillies, Stott. I don't think he's really a home run hitter. He's not really hitting many.
No.
He's a pure hitter. What about the guy on the Marlins that won the batting title last year?
Arias?
Yeah. That's valuable right there. Right there, that's valuable that he could just borderline hit 400.
That too, but you can rely on him to get the ball in play when you need to.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, let's say productive outs. So I'm getting the ball to the right side with nobody out.
True.
Or sack flies, ground balls, with guy on third, less than two outs. You know, those are not just the batting average, but him being able to rely on him to get the ball and play it at certain spots.
I think the game's kind of leveling out in that way. I think home runs aren't as important as they used to be, at least back in the day.
Right.
But they still are the thing that brings in the bucks, because Urias, I mean, the minute his numbers slip as far as average goes, like, he's going to be no longer an asset, right? But if Joey Gallo's average slips, but he's still hitting like 20 to 30 home runs.
That's why he has an MLB spot.
Exactly. They'll find a place for him on the field. Give him a chance. See if we can fix that swing.
I think 20 years ago, he's literally out of baseball. But today's game, he's got a first baseman job on the Nationals, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, that is a good point. Did you see Cameron at the Korean series? I watched the first game. I stayed up.
Good
terrible,
for you.
Terrible decision.
Good for you.
My decision ended up being not going to bed at all and staying up till 6 a.m.
Oh, gosh.
But did you see the Cronenworth glove? And if you didn't, I want you to go ahead and watch it. I left a little link to click on there to watch it. But
thank you. I do not see. Oh, did I see it right there? I did not see it. Can you explain it to the audience?
So basically, it was a critical situation. I can't remember exactly the score, but I do remember that it was first and second with one out, and Gavin Lux was out to play.
Yep.
Ball was hit kind of hard, not really. But no matter how hard you hit the ball, how does the ball go through? It went straight through the webbing of the glove. And yikes. Now we're not talking about like a bad part of it, like no, right like through where you're
right
supposed,
where you're
to,
supposed
catch
to catch
it.
That thing.
And it just tore it open. And that ended up being the tying run coming home. Dodgers scored three more that inning. Won the game 5-2.
The only thing I can think of when I see that is, do you remember when Zion, his shoe exploded?
Oh, yeah. And that shoe brand is gone.
It was Nike, dude. It was Nike shoes. And it was like a close-up on the Nike logo.
Yeah.
And the shoe just explodes. This reminds me of that, except I don't freaking know what logo or what glove brand he's using there. There's no close-up on that glove brand. Do you know?
I don't know.
You don't have that info?
I don't, but I do. What I can compare this to is, you've seen pitchers or sometimes fielders have the ball be stuck in the webbing. You've seen that? Where it, like, they can't pull the ball out, so they just throw the whole glove to the bag or wherever they need to throw it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that, but I don't think I've ever seen a ball go through the glove hole in hole, just straight through it and not even like getting into the outfield pretty much.
Yeah. What do you think? Okay. Let's talk about this. If you are the manufacturer of that glove, and I got to see, man, whoever made that glove for him, they're really doing a great job hiding that fact because I cannot find the brand anywhere. Let's see.
That's great. Do you think it was maybe like a Korean glove or something?
It was a Wilson A2000.
Wilson. Words out now, Wilson.
Ooh.
Words out now.
Oh, no way. Okay, so he was playing first base. So this is not a first baseman glove. So what was the glove?
Their problem.
They're not saying it. Man, that sucks.
Anyways, that's just, I mean, something I had to point out from...
If you're Cronenworth, do you switch glove brands after that?
I mean, how could you not?
I mean,
bad manufacturers happen.
Money, too.
But at the same time, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, he could take this and be like, hey, I need a new glove. Somebody give me some.
Wow, no one's blowing up this glove at all. I can't find it anywhere. That's crazy. I feel like, you know, even Reddit, dude, like, they're not. It's, this company is protected. It has to be Wilson. Let's see.
Let me tell you, while you're looking it up, Cameron, let me tell you about a coffee shop guy from Korea.
Oh, yeah, this is fun. Yeah. This is fun. You told me about this briefly, but yeah, break it down.
So basically, we have this local Korean guy in Seoul, has his own little coffee shop, big baseball fan, especially big fan of Yu Darvish. So obviously, didn't know, I mean, knew that they were coming into town, but didn't know that Yu Darvish would happen to stop by. So I have a little article from the MLB. Quote unquote from this guy saying, I was just working as usual at the cafe with my wife around lunchtime. Since it's lunchtime, I'm diligently working. I was doing something in the corner and my wife suddenly started saying, honey, honey, whoa, whoa. And I was like, what? What's the matter? And I saw him and I look and went, ah! What do you think about that? I was trying to do my best impersonation of this Korean man.
I mean, good for that guy. Meet your heroes.
But
right?
See, this is where I'm going back to good or bad for baseball.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great.
This guy's a huge fan. What are you talking about? This guy's a huge fan of the game of baseball, especially Yu Darvish, and he got to live his dream.
Yeah, that's great.
Right. Just imagine that. I mean, I can't put it in perspective for me because I don't really have that same thing for a different sport, but. It's just, you know, it's great to see something like this to spread the love of the game through the countries and especially a big fan like this. So that's why I wanted to share this on this podcast because I thought it was something that was pretty special for not only this guy but just the game of baseball, right?
Mm. I think that's a great story.
Right.
Yeah. And I love your what was his reaction again when he noticed?
Ah!
How did that go? Like, what, like, maybe acted out?
Put me, you know, in that. I can only do so many things with words.
Can you just, like, yeah, use a little body here because this is a video podcast. So
okay, let's see. So I'm gonna go ahead and play it right now.
Okay, I'll be the wife.
Okay, dude, making coffee. Do do do. This is your cue. Like,
honey, honey, whoa, whoa.
And I was like, what? What's the matter? Walking into the room. Ah!
That's wait. Are you the wife or the
no? That's
the
me. Husband.
Oh, that's you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the okay.
That
wow.
was after my third shot of espresso.
Oh yeah, it's yeah. a lot because this is a coffee shop, right?
Right.
Okay.
It's
wow.
a local coffee shop, and
yeah,
I don't know if coffee's different in Korea, but I'm assuming it's pretty similar.
Was you entering the coffee shop, or was he just passing by on the street?
He was ordering something. I think he was in the back, so he went in the coffee shop.
Oh, so
took
the
a picture
man...
with him. There is a picture of him with. Yeah.
Okay.
So he wow. literally met him.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
So,
but Yu Darvish, though, is Japanese, right?
Japanese, yep.
Okay. So, was there a language barrier there? Korean, Japanese?
There's probably, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and just be honest and say I have no idea.
Okay. Well, they could, maybe they know both. Maybe.
I think there are different languages, but there might be a resemblance to.
No. It's different languages. It's not like, I mean, it would probably.
No, maybe they both speak a language.
They both speak a little Korean, or yeah, you speaks versa. A little Korean, and he yeah. speaks a little Japanese. That could happen.
You never know. It's like Mexican English or Spanish and English.
That was a great story, Chase. Did anyone ever tell you could get into acting?
You know, I'm going to stick to my day job and just keep teaching golf.
Okay, that's good. Let's talk about our standout spring players. So, on my little list here, I got O'Neill Cruz, Wyatt Langford, James Wood, Miguel Andujar. What do you think about these guys?
Well, so some of these guys have been studs who just haven't had a healthy year. O'Neill Cruz. Some of these guys are prospects. Wyatt Langford, who actually just made the opening day roster with the Rangers. And James Wood, who came over from the Juan Soto deal a couple years ago. James Wood is somebody on my radar to make the MLB sometime this year. And he does remind me of like an outfielder version of O'Neill Cruz, actually. Kind of tall, fast, good glove, good arm, solid pop, right? And then you got Miguel Andujar, Cameron, believe it or not, who is on the Oakland Athletics. Mm-hmm. Or, sorry, I don't even know. Are they referred as the Oakland Athletics this year or Las Vegas Athletics?
I think they're still playing in Oakland, my guy. I was looking at their schedule.
They're playing in Oakland?
Yeah, they're playing in Oakland still.
So are they're still the Oakland A's?
Yeah, seems like it. I don't know what's going on. It's very, I mean, I don't, I all I know is that on the schedule it says the Coliseum. That's all I know.
Okay.
Could change.
I thought their contract was over last year, so
yeah, but I mean, I'm sure they couldn't figure anything.
They did a little rental deal.
Just maybe a little, hey, watch.
There's $5K. Let us play here.
Yeah. They're like, sure, whatever. I mean, we don't make any money anymore, so. Okay, let me go over James Wood's stats for the spring. Okay. He's in 364 with four jacks, 11 walks, 13 strikeouts, three stolen bases, one caught stealing, right? Solid. He has 16 hits and 44 at-bats in 22 games.
Okay.
Yeah, double triple, seven RBIs. I mean, I feel like those don't really matter. I think the home runs, the walks, and the strikeouts with the average, I think those are like the most important stats when it comes to spring training. It's like, is he seeing the ball well in the zone? Does he got pop? And is he like hitting balls in play and getting on base? So,
right.
So I feel like that's a pretty solid spring, especially from someone who's trying to make an MLB roster. And something we talked about 2 weeks ago was Jackson Holliday. Did we think he was cracking opening day? This guy's 21. Jackson Holliday is 20. I think Jackson Holliday just, I mean, you watched his at-bats, you watched his hits. Like, he just didn't really have that, like, the oomph that we're looking for. James, four jacks, that's like legit pop, especially in 22 games. I feel like he's kind of earned this sort of nod for the opening day roster, whereas Jackson Holliday, I think he needs like maybe a couple months to marinate, you know, just kind of grow into his strength a little bit more. That's just from my side of the table.
I mean, I think Jackson Holliday is putting up some quality MLB at-bats in spring.
100%.
But the Nationals don't really have anything to lose. You know, they're at that point where it's like, let's see who can be on this team. Let's see who can't be on this team.
The Orioles do.
The Orioles have studs. Colton Cowser got called up.
Yeah, but like when you are a pretty bad team, like you don't want to just kind of like be willy-nilly with your prospects, because those prospects, you want them to be around for as long as possible,
right,
without having an opportunity to walk or having to sign them to a big 10-year contract. So I would even say you're a little more careful to not just bring them up when you got nothing to lose, because you might not have something to lose now, but in 3 to 4 years, you might have a pretty solid team. And that's when you want James Wood to like be your guy for maybe 2 to 3 years, your playoff ready team, without having to pay them the big bucks. So you're not just calling someone up if you don't feel like they're absolutely ready, because you're just missing out on that opportunity, I guess, if you do, to have him perform at the best of his ability or help the team win for all the years that he's under team control. And that's how I see it. But I'm happy that they're doing it, because he's young, and usually they're...
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they called him up or not yet.
Oh, I thought you said he cracked the opening day roster.
No, Wyatt Langford did.
Oh, man, I just went on this whole tangent about James Wood.
Well, James Wood is not the top outfielder prospect on the Nationals. It's Dylan Cruz.
Okay. No, so, I know that, but like he was a second-round pick, and he's performing well in spring training.
Now, real quick, while I
Chase, just, you know, went quick, on this whole
talk
tangent
about James Wood and why he should be on the opening roster, look up Miguel Andujar's stats this spring.
Okay.
This guy, well, first of all, let me actually go on Miguel Andujar. This guy has been a Yankee bench player for a couple of years and had his one fantastic year, and then got it overtaken by guys like Urshela, guys like who was the other guy that came up?
Just a Gio, yeah, Gio Urshela, you already said him.
Oh, Kiner Falefa,
yeah,
came in, took a little bit of his time away, but Andujar has also struggled with the injury bug and gets a little little pity contract from the A's. Say, let's see what you can do on our team, buddy. You know, that's kind of an A's contract, typical A's contract.
Yeah. What can he do?
And he's raking.
29
right now.
Years old. Just
he's
a little.
Raking.
He's raking. 29 years old. He just celebrated his birthday a couple weeks ago. Happy birthday. His nickname's Papa.
Classic.
How about that?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Papa. He's hitting.
Yeah, what do you got on him?
357, 5 jacks, 15 RBIs, 1 walk, 1 stolen base, no strikeouts. It's pretty impressive. In 14 games, 42 at bats. So it's pretty good numbers. I mean, last year he hit 195 in spring training with 1 home run, 8 strikeouts, 41 at bats. So definitely an improvement there.
Is he back?
Is he back?
Is he back to that Yankee form that he had in his strong rookie campaign?
I mean, shoot.
I think
you take a little watch list on that fantasy roster. You're not buying into him yet, but
I mean, he's on the A's, so he's not going to get their productivity as
yeah,
other
he's not
players.
Getting those numbers, but he could. He could have put together a little solid season. He could be like some trade bait.
Could be at the wire. The good old trade bait.
Good old trade bait. Okay, let's talk about Langford. What do you got on Langford?
Well, this guy rakes, obviously. I mean, he's done it in spring. He's done it in college. He's done it across the board. He was a part of that 2023 draft class. I think he's going to slide right into that DH spot because you got outfield's pretty stacked defensively. I think he's better hitter than Tavares, but Tavares is a good defender. Mm. I think you can't put him at second because you got Semien. You can't put him at third because you got Young, right? So I think he goes straight into that DH spot because the best part of his game is hitting. He'll probably slide into that 7-8 hole probably to start the year, but I don't really know, actually.
375 in the spring. Let me just cut you off right there. 375 in the spring, 6 jacks. 15 strikeouts, 5 walks. Strikeouts are a little bit of a problem, but he's raking 6 jacks in the spring. That's not bad.
I mean, the way people are looking at it, though, now is, like we were talking about earlier, the game of baseball has changed a little bit. You strike out, you get out. You know, it's like, okay, whatever. But like Arias, put the ball in play, you can rely on that.
Yeah, but the strikeouts, like, they're a little concerning, considering that if you can strike out this much while you're swinging out of your shoes, you know, like, pitchers are going to figure you out, and they're going to figure out how to strike you out. So it's like, yeah, you hit 6 jacks, but that's because maybe pitchers aren't trying to pitch to you. They're just trying to pitch for them in spring. But you struck out 15 times, which means that, like, you can be figured out, right? If the strikeout count is lower, it's harder to get you out. It's hard to strike you out. You have a better chance of getting a pitch that you can drive, over the fence, especially.
Right.
But, you know, like, it's a give-take relationship, right? If you're striking out a bunch but you're hitting a lot of home runs, it means that if they don't miss, they could strike you out. But if they miss, you make them pay.
Right.
So it's really that sort of that gamble that you run. And it's the reason why there's a lot of players out there that do really well some seasons and then really don't do great other seasons, like Giancarlo Stanton, for instance. He's the kind of guy that you could throw him 2 sliders.
He hit 3 jacks the other day, just so you know.
But he's the kind of guy that you can, like, throw him 2 sliders and he'll swing right on top of him, but that swing is the scariest swing you've ever seen in your entire life. And you're like, he's just like, throw me another slider, but miss. And then you miss, and that ball is 530 feet, nuclear blast, into the parking lot.
It's true.
And it's hitting your car. Ding! Woo, 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 woo! As he's rounding the bases, he's like, you shouldn't have thrown that.
As he's rounding the bases, he's lip saying that. You can read his lips.
And he's just like, he's peacocking, dude.
He grabs the football from the third base coach.
Yep.
Grabs it, tucks it away like it's his baby.
Yeah. Whew. Man, talk about
the home run
Stanton
trots.
Gets me all flustered sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I got bad deja vu from Stanton Jack, so we're not gonna go too far.
We're not
far
even
into
gonna
that.
Go into there. It's a whole fantasy inside thing. Too much to explain right now.
Let's go real quick, touch one more base on the Soul series. Mm-hmm. We had some predictions, obviously, in the beginning. We had a bet that I unfortunately
lost. Okay.
But we did have some predictions. We had, does Shohei Ohtani hit a jack?
Yeah.
We both said yes.
Yes, he did not.
And he came real close twice, just so you know.
So our instincts were sound.
It was there. It was a pitcher-friendly ballpark from when I was... or what I understand.
Okay.
But also Machado home run, yes or no? I think we both said yes. I know you said yes. I'm pretty sure I said yes too.
Yeah, he did.
And he did.
He hit one.
He hit one of the very last at-bats of the series.
Ding.
So one count for it. Two. 2 for 3 for you, 1 for 3 for me.
Yeah. Love that.
Not great showing. Mm. I'm disappointed, but that's okay. That's why they're predictions and not professional facts.
Mm.
Anyways,
so opening day is right around the corner.
Yep.
Right. And we have a couple surprising things happening on opening day, especially surprising starters. Now, Chase, you found this. What was the most surprising for you as far as who you saw as an opening day starter?
Yeah. So I think the most surprising goes to the Oakland Athletics. Never seemed to surprise or not surprise.
Yeah.
Alex Wood is their opening day starter. Didn't even know he was on the team, to be honest with you.
Yikes.
So that's going to be interesting. I mean, this guy obviously bounced around a lot the last couple of years. It's had some good moments, had some bad. I'll be curious to see what that guy slinging it from the left side down from his shoelaces is going to do for that team.
I love that guy. I think he's a...
He reminds me of a... If you just hold your thumb up like this... You got Alex Wood.
That's just mean, Chase.
Sorry.
Apologize to him right
now. Sorry.
I'm sorry. How dare you? No, I think he's got a funky delivery, but it works or it doesn't. Like, that's kind of what it is with him. So hopefully it works for the A's. I mean, they see something in him that I guess we don't.
I can see him having a pretty good year. Like, if he can stay healthy and put it together for a full season.
My surprise was Jose Quintana. Getting the opening day nod on none other than the Mets.
Yeah.
Which,
what?
For the longest time, has been known to just produce ace after ace after ace. But it's now true. We got Jose Quintana, who I thought was a sixth starter on every team he's been on in the last 3 years. So the fact that he snuck his way over to opening day starter on the Mets is like hats off to him, right?
Ever since he moved from the Cubs to the White Sox and that, you know, three-way trade. That
was it the opposite? I thought he went from the White Sox to the Cubs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah. From the White Sox to the Cubs. He kind of fell off from
there.
And it's been like, honestly, the more the time went by, the less you knew about him and what he was doing.
I think the lesson to be learned here is that lefty pitchers are valuable because both of those guys are lefties.
That's a very good point.
And if you're out there and you're learning how to pitch and you're young, just pick up the ball with that left hand.
Throw it with the left
hand.
And
throw as hard as you possibly can and keep doing it.
Keep doing it until your elbow tears. No, I'm just kidding.
And then pretty soon you will be... the opening day starter, regardless of your stats for the last 5 years. Which do you think is going to be the strongest performance on opening day out of a pitcher? We're talking pitching.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Tarik Skubal. I believe... Oh, sorry, 1 second. Let me just double check his opponent. Tarik Skubal on the Tigers. And... That is fortunate because I didn't write down who they were playing.
Oh, so. Chase. No. Dead air. Dead air.
It was there. I'm sorry.
Chase. Hurry. I should have went first. It's right here for me. It is so
easy. Against the White Sox, obviously.
Okay, there you go.
Against the White Sox, who don't have the strongest team in the MLB.
Ah.
And Tarik Skubal, in my opinion, is going to be right behind Corbin Burns for Cy Young.
Wow.
I believe.
That's the prediction, huh?
Yeah. He's my dark horse for Cy Young.
I like that. Dark horse.
So who do you got as strongest performance on opening day?
I got Gallen against the Rockies.
Yeah.
I think, he He put together a season last year that surprised a lot of people.
Top five in Cy Young in the last 2 years.
I think from a guy who doesn't overpower you, you're not really expecting that to sort of continue, right? So he's always going to be a guy that's going to just try to prove people wrong, I guess. Like, this could be the year he declines. No, I think he's going to shut down the Rockies. considering the Rockies seem to be probably one of the weaker teams in the league now.
This is also a guy you drafted, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm all in with this guy. I think he's my ace on my fantasy team. So shout out to Gallen. And if he doesn't, then I'm double screwed because I look like an idiot on the podcast, which I've already done like 10 times today. And I also lose my fantasy week. So let's just hope, hey, Gallen, if you're out there, give it to him. That's all I got to say. Let's talk about, man, it took us this long, but this whole Ohtani story, wow, what is happening?
Do you want to save this for last to talk about Juan Soto real quick?
Okay, let's touch on Juan Soto, then we'll get to Ohtani. Sorry, folks. Juan Soto.
Just a little Juan Soto news.
My first round draft pick in my fantasy league, just working on his swing.
And first of all, let's just touch base on Juan Soto and having a crazy spring. This guy's been raking spring.
He's been unreal. He's been unreal. And, you know, I haven't really been watching his, like, at-bats in entirety. I've just been watching the satisfying stats. Home runs.
Yeah.
But, like, what does he need to work on?
So, Soto said that he needed to stay back from traveling to Mexico for the Mexican series for Trevor Bauer pitching, by the way,
yep,
against the Yankees. Need to stay back to work on his swing, quote unquote, work on his swing.
Yeah. 324 in the spring with 7 strikeouts, 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, 3 walks. So, I mean, not a bad spring.
Solid spring.
Solid spring. Those are numbers that we would put up there with the better ones.
Now, do you believe that he is...
Do you think there's something more there? Do you think he's actually working on his swing, or he just didn't want to face Trevor?
So, I don't think that's the case, but
okay.
I think it's more of somebody who is a hard worker. I think we can all agree that Soto's a hard worker.
Yeah.
And he just wants to be better than everybody else, right? And I don't think he's satisfied with these numbers that he's putting up in spring. So, or conspiracy.
Uh-oh.
He didn't want to travel because he had some personal things to deal with or some personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean,
or maybe he just doesn't want to go to Mexico.
How does that work with team morale as far as one of your guys just says, I don't want to go to Mexico. I got things to worry about.
I mean, you're the Yankees, right? You have Aaron Judge. You have Giancarlo Stanton. You have Garrett Cole. Like, that team's full of egos. I feel like it's expected for this kind of behavior.
So you think that you're just like, oh, okay, that's... I would do the same thing if I was in his shoes?
I just don't think that anyone cares. On the Yankees especially. Like, do you? Do you feel like people are, like, kind of rubbed the wrong way on this?
I mean, I don't know. This guy just signs...
He didn't sign. He got traded.
This guy just gets traded to your team, and the first impression is, I'm not traveling to this Mexican series. Even though it's not regular season games, it's still spring training. But I don't know. I could see how it could push people a little the wrong way.
I mean, like, what, on the team or fans? Because
both.
Fans maybe, like, in Mexico, if they're really wanting to see Juan Soto.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, that would suck if you're like, oh, I get to see Juan Soto.
But I feel like you'd be more excited to see, like, a number of other Yankees in Mexico.
You're not disappointed.
You're not missing out, right? I mean...
Well, you get Verdugo. You get the hometown kid.
Yeah, that's... Everyone is going to want to see Verdugo.
True.
And then maybe Judge, Stanton, Soto. Like, that order. I mean, in my opinion, at least.
Right.
That I feel like Soto, yeah, he's a great player, and he is popular, but... Him staying back to work on his swing, I don't think it has a big implication.
Yeah, I don't think it's as big a deal as people are making it, but I could see these things that we're talking about kind of pop in here and there, as far as like maybe it could set a bad vibe in the clubhouse. Maybe the fans aren't too happy with him. Is it really his swing he's working on, or does he just not want to go? I don't know. These are things that people can talk about, think about. I mean, maybe there are actual factual information that we're not seeing into this. But
do you think Soto is going to be able to handle the pressure of New York? Not a lot of people get out of there alive or in one piece.
I think that guy can handle any pressure.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think? No, I'm talking like.
Oh, like if fans. He struggles and they start booing him, yeah. Like the Mets?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Mets started celebrating with their thumbs down every time they got a hit. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I think he'll be fine. This guy's a professional player.
Well, dude.
One of the best in the game.
Yeah, but everyone's a professional player, and there are some professional players.
This is no Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, but is this a Trey Turner?
No.
No?
No.
You think
this guy was born to hit baseball.
Yeah,
Trey Turner's a freak athlete. I mean, obviously, you know, one of the best in the game too. Lindor, same thing. Juan Soto was born to smash baseballs.
He's an anomaly, and I can't wait to see him give me all the fantasy points this year. So yeah, Juan Soto, work on that swing. Get it dialed in. I don't care. Just do it. Just do your thing.
All right, let's get to it. Final Ohtani. Topic.
Well, Ohtani-san is in hot water. He is in hot water because his interpreter has been blown up for this big betting scandal.
This has been the talk of the MLB for the past week.
There are two possible scenarios. The first one is that Ohtani truly is a victim. He's helping his buddy out, trying to get him out of this whole betting debt, all this garbage, and he just went at it the wrong way.
And they got caught, and his buddy took the fall for him.
No. That's scenario one, is that he's helping his buddy out by lending him money to pay off his debts, right? But he didn't realize what he was doing.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And now the lawyers are like, hey, yeah, this guy definitely stole money.
There's a lot of different articles that are coming up. One saying that he stole money.
No. What the lawyers are claiming is that he stole the money. The reality is that there were bank wire transfers from Ohtani to his interpreter for like $5.4 million to cover his gambling debts. Now, there are two more wire transfers that came out, both for $500,000 to an unknown bank account, and that's assuming it's a bookie.
Right.
There's also someone else that was bragging that he's dealing with Ohtani when it comes to like gambling and stuff like that. He's just throwing Ohtani's name out there. But we were under the impersonation, or it's assumed that that guy was just using Ohtani's name for like clout. It's really his interpreter that was doing the betting. However, there's two scenarios. It's either the interpreter was the one with the problem, and Ohtani was just trying to be a good friend, and now that he's under fire, he's distancing himself. Or the second thing is that Ohtani is the man who has been having this gambling problem, and best friend interpreter is taking the fall for him.
It's crazy because you just can't think this guy can do anything wrong.
But you look at his contract, $70 million a year.
Yeah.
68 of that is deferred. Mm-hmm. You don't think that's because maybe he has a gambling problem?
Maybe it could be that, or it could be he doesn't have enough money to fulfill what he wants to do.
No, but I'm saying like, do you defer your money because you know that you have you're a gambling problem and you're just going to gamble it away? Especially if you're getting some of the biggest, like the biggest contract ever in MLB history. Like, and if you gamble it away and someone notices it, that could all disappear. All because that's completely against the rules to gamble, especially on like baseball games. That's how Pete Rose is out of the Hall of Fame.
Out of baseball entirely.
Well, just not really baseball entirely.
He can't coach. He can't do anything.
Oh, really?
In regards to
all
MLB.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he could commentate. He was a commentator for a minute.
If Ohtani is guilty of gambling in baseball, he is done forever. It's done.
But can you gamble on other sports and be okay? I think that's all right.
I don't know.
I think that is. I just don't think you can gamble on baseball.
I don't think that's a problem. Unless you, I don't know.
Could you imagine Ohtani just banned?
We might find out tomorrow.
For life, dude.
We might find out tomorrow. He said he is going to talk to the press conference tomorrow.
You make an exception, right? What do you do? If he comes out and says, I've had a gambling problem, I'm sorry.
I hope my fan base, my country, everyone can forgive me.
I'm going back to Japan.
Dude,
playing.
There is one of two things that could happen. That is one of them. The second thing is he's going to say that my friend, this is tough for me to see my friend in such a dark place, and I didn't want to speak upon it until now.
The lawyers are positioning themselves as he stole money from Ohtani.
Right, and he didn't want to bring it up to the press conference because he was so damaged from it.
Yeah,
because remember, this is his friend.
Translator fired, and if Ohtani is assisting his friend in gambling on baseball games, that's just as bad as gambling yourself. So it has to be a theft. It has to be a theft. So he has to address it.
Oh, I'm saying
as a theft, if he wants to cover
but
his
what
butt.
If he what if he was lending him money and didn't know it was because of gambling?
There's ways to prove that you would know it was gambling.
Wait, what if he said, "I want to buy a house"?
That's not.
I don't know. I know it's a stretch. These are all very like big stretches.
Hmm.
But like, just imagine like one of your good friends that
he would have a day in court though, dude.
Imagine one of your good friends you grew up with stole money from you.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And let's just say like you trusted him your whole life. Like he's a close family friend. Whatever. I don't know exactly their relationship, but it's not something you could just go and start telling everybody about, because it's a sensitive thing. It probably like broke you. Like, how could this?
Oh, so you're saying he stole money from Ohtani, and Ohtani realized it and was like upset about it,
and then didn't want to speak on it until now.
Until it came to light, because it came to light. Like, it was revealed. It wasn't. He didn't reveal it. Someone leaked that.
No, I know, but I'm saying like, if that was the case, people are probably saying, why didn't Ohtani just say, oh, it wasn't me who did it? It wasn't me who gambled. It was like, this is what happened. He stole money from me. Why didn't he say that right away?
And he had to address his lawyers. He had to figure out how he's going to get out of this without implicating himself.
I don't know. There's just so many ifs about this story.
When you're talking about $70 million a year for 10 years, a $700 million like play on the line, you're not going to just go out willy-nilly and be like, hey, yeah, sorry, blah, 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 blah. Trevor Bauer did that. Look where he's at. He didn't address any lawyers. He just freaking went out there and just said everything.
He did have a lot of things that he got approval to talk about before he did.
Obviously, but what I'm saying is that like you don't just dive into something right when it was... Like, it was released like
yeah, but people
days
don't know
ago.
That, though. Some people think, like, why isn't Ohtani defending himself right now?
He's also had to play a game, too.
I know. He had to play the game the next day.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And if he says something that, like, even if it's not true, like, he just said something and it wasn't true, like, if he said, like, yeah, my friend wanted the money. He didn't tell me what it was for, but, like, I knew he was a bad gambler, so, like...
He knows what it is. There's no way he doesn't... Whatever he's going to say tomorrow is going to be... either a lie of the situation, but it's going to be addressed and it's going to be finalized.
But what I'm saying is that like you don't say something because you need to know exactly what to say. That way you can continue playing baseball in the MLB. Now, that's me assuming he's not a gambler, that he's just helping his friend out. However, the case can be made that he could be just a gambler and he's screwed. Like, he could just not know how to frame it so that he can take responsibility for his actions, but at the same time not still be able to play baseball. It's like a Michael Jordan situation. That's
so
what I was seeing on
the
comments.
What people haven't talked about is who's going to translate this tomorrow.
Oh gosh. Who's the new translator?
Yamamoto can't do it.
No, well, Yamamoto's probably got a translator. Let's borrow him.
I thought, didn't he take the same guy?
Oh, gosh, really?
I don't know. I thought the Dodgers hired him, and it was like a package deal. And Yamamoto came and was like, I'll just use this guy, too. Oh, man. Who's going to translate tomorrow? Maybe that's what they were waiting for, why it took so long.
Yeah, they're trying to find a translator.
They couldn't have anyone.
Like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah. How is he going
to
speak?
I want to talk, but who's going to understand? I'll talk tomorrow, but nobody's going to understand me.
He could always just say stuff in Japanese, and we can just do a little Google Translate on our phones, right?
That's crazy. Yeah, there you go. So there's something that people aren't thinking about, but...
That's so funny. I didn't even think about that at all. Who's going to translate?
I'm going to be honest. I'm a little scared.
For the Dodgers' future?
Just... I don't know. I just don't...
That's 3 years, dude. 3 years in a row. Where Urias, we got someone Bauer, and Ohtani.
Ohtani could be the third.
Wow. Man, another one bites the dust.
I don't go too early.
I don't think I'm not too scared. I don't know. Everyone's scared. I'm not too scared. I feel like Ohtani literally is the reason why MLB is relevant on a worldwide, like on a
100%
global scale. He is the most anti-controversial figure in sports. He has nothing but the most respect. Like
by everybody, not just players, but fans.
Yes, by players, by fans,
coaches,
by coaches, by teammates, and even if like he did have a gambling problem, he has friends that would literally fall on the sword for him, which is what his translator is doing essentially,
right?
Because his translator is not speaking out and saying, no, it's not me, it was Ohtani. Ohtani's got the gambling problem. He hasn't said anything either. So the MLB is going to find a way,
but he could be covering up for Ohtani as a friend.
That's what I'm saying. That's literally what I just said. He's not only earned the respect and the love from all these people, but also he has friends in his corner that would literally ruin their career for this man. Yeah. So like, the MLB is not going to just be like, yeah, you're gone. Think about the guys that were brushed away. Pete Rose, hothead, spoke his mind. He ended someone's career in an all-star game by running him over at the plate.
Right.
You know, Trevor Bauer, hothead, loose cannon.
Yeah.
Anti-establishment. Luis Urias, like, he's like...
Julio.
What the frick? What am I saying?
It's late in the day. Oh, it's okay.
Man, Julio Urias. I'm a Dodger fan too. I should know that. He just wasn't really outspoken about anything. He had multiple instances, and then one was on film, and that's when he got the boot. And even that guy, like, had records of hitting his girlfriend before. Just wasn't on camera, and they kept him in. They kept throwing him out there on the mound, having him pitch, and then finally one got recorded, and boom, we'll see ya. You're gone. I don't think Ohtani, unless there's literal images of him putting bets on baseball games
or
at casinos.
Or text messages.
Or text messages, emails,
or whatever. Emails,
something with tangible evidence of him betting, he's gonna be fine, dude.
Yeah.
He'll be swinging in that Dodger blue.
We'll see tomorrow. I'm curious. Obviously, this might come out after the news comes out, so
it's rare that baseball gets hot and heavy and exciting this early on in the season.
This is a whole nother exciting story.
Yeah, we haven't even started. It's like we're two games deep. It's awesome. Okay, well, we hit that time where we are going to do our quick predictions.
Let me ask you first, Cameron. How many home runs will be hit on opening day? Last year, there were 21 Jimmy Johns.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go 21 and a half, over and under. What you got?
I'm going to say over. I don't think that opening day is filled with the best pitching talent currently. Not a lot of studs taking the mound this opening day. So I'm going to go over. Think there's gonna be more than 21 home runs. What about you?
I literally was gonna say the same exact thing.
Yeah,
opening day stars this year aren't as defined as they are in years past. So, plus I just think we got a lot of pop coming in today's lineups.
Mm-hmm.
So
a lot of people to prove, like, that need to prove.
Yeah,
some things, you know, they need to solidify that starting roster
So there are 15 games. So in the stat concept, that is at least one or more per game, right?
Yeah, I mean like one and a half.
Yeah, ish. One and a quarter.
Okay.
But yeah, I think there will be like 25, I guess.
Yeah.
Just throwing a random number out, 25. It sounds good.
I'll put a little 27 piece down.
27 piece.
27 piece.
Okay. All right.
Who is your upset on opening day? Who do you think out of all the matchups is going to upset the favorite? So who are our options here?
So I'm going with...
What, give us the upsets. Like the matchups.
Okay.
Or no. Yep. Who are you going to go with?
I had it and I freaking don't have it.
Oh my gosh.
I thought I had it. Oh yeah. I'm going to go with the Royals upsetting the Twins.
Okay.
On opening day. I just think that I'm a big Cole Reagans fan. I think he just throws the ball. He's throwing the ball really well. Got him from the Rangers for Aroldis Chapman. It's a great deal for the Royals, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that they got a lot of young talent. And they're going to come out with a lot of hype and a lot of energy. And I think they steal game one at home.
Okay.
And I don't know if they're underdogs, but I'm just assuming they are because the Twins won the division last year and the Royals sucked last year. So I'm assuming that they are underdogs.
Okay.
Who do you got?
Well, we have the Guardians facing the A's. So that would be probably two underdogs facing each other in my book. But the A's would probably be the more underdoggy of them. And they got my guy Alex Wood going for them, as we learned today. So I'm going to give it to the A's. I think they sneak one from the Guardians. As much as I would love to root for alumni Stephen Vogt in his managerial debut on the Guardians, APU, by the way, if you're unfamiliar, Stephen Vogt, legend. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a good team to sort of root for. Who would you say is the underdog between the White Sox and the Tigers, though, by the way?
I'd probably say the White Sox are the favorite.
The White Sox are the favorite.
They're at home, so it gives them a little advantage.
So you have
I'd probably put them even, honestly.
But you have your Cy Young dark horse starting for the Tigers, right?
Yeah.
And you say the White Sox are the favorite, you're not going to go with the Tigers as an underdog?
They're both teams that aren't making the playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah, but one's an underdog, the other's not. So you're not going
could be an even line.
Hmm.
Though right now on ESPN it says even.
Oh, okay. So there's no underdog for that.
Yeah.
Okay, it's understandable.
But, once we get closer to opening day, we'll understand betting lines a little bit more. But right now, mm-hmm. Royals for me... A's for you. I think if we agree that they're underdogs, then it's good enough.
Yeah, right? That's pretty good. Do the defending champs get the W on opening day? That's the Texas Rangers, for those unfamiliar. They're playing against the Cubs. What do you say, Chase?
I'm going to say no, actually.
Whoa.
They're playing the Cubs. I think it's Justin Steele versus Nathan Eovaldi. And I think that's my guy on my fan. That's the guy to look out for,
in my opinion.
He's had... it came up a little bit in 2022, had a great 2023 year, and I think he's going to continue to dominate this year in 2024. I think he, right behind Skubal, is going to have the second best performance in open day against a stacked Rangers lineup and a lot of rookies, too. Two top rookie of the year candidates right there.
What, on the Cubs or in the
on Rangers? On the Rangers.
Oh, okay. So
Langford and Evan Carter.
He's going to shut down that young lineup.
I think so.
Wow. I think the Rangers, just to really give it to you, I think the Rangers are going to win. Let's put a little bet on this one, huh?
Well, we'll be betting before we shake on it.
Okay. Why don't we bet that if...
How about this? Since my team is an underdog.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I think the extremities of my loss should be a little less than yours.
I mean, if you have that much confidence in Steele, though, then would it really be an underdog bet?
Well, I'm just saying, like, okay, what's...
How about this?
Spoonful of hot sauce.
Okay. I get a full spoonful. You get a teaspoon.
A teaspoon. A table... No, let's do...
What, a tablespoon? Or what?
That's a big... That's a lot.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it
let's
bigger
do a,
than
a... Let's do a half teaspoon. No. Actually, no. Screw it. Let's do a tablespoon and a teaspoon.
Tablespoon and teaspoon.
I'll get a tablespoon. No, I mean, I'll get a teaspoon. You get a tablespoon.
Okay.
Of hot sauce. Of your choice. So it could be like Cholula, Tapatio, Sriracha.
Let's just do Cholula.
Okay.
Is that hot? I don't know. I don't use hot sauce. It's going to be rough for me.
It's a little hot, but it's not like going to kill you.
Let's do it.
All right. Teaspoon for me if I lose. Tablespoon for you if you lose.
That's good. That's a good ratio.
And let's do it. And that's how we'll start the next podcast.
All right. What's your who's your player that's going to go deep on opening day?
I got my first round pick of a fantasy league, Matt Olson, going deep. And I don't think it's going to be off Zach Wheeler. I think it's going to be off one of their bullpen guys. And I think the Braves are going to be up 3-1. He's going to have a runner on first, and he's going to hit a jimbo.
I'm going to go with the safe pick, and this guy is a legend when it comes to opening day big flies.
Kyle?
Mr. Bryce Harper.
Oh, Bryce Harper.
Come on.
So we have the same game.
Yeah.
Brewers and Braves and Phillies.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It's going to be fun to watch, huh?
Let's say if... No, actually, we'll just do one bet.
No, one bet's okay. One bet's good. One bet's good. Okay, cool. So that is our quick position. Our quick predictions. I think that's it, Chase.
That's all I got
today. How do we end these shows again? I can't remember.
We just...
End it.
It's good to be here, you know? It's good to be here. I think we talked about a lot of good things that are... today and things that could happen in the future.
Yeah, I love just talking baseball, you know. I love talking about where the game's going. I love talking about, you know, what's changing.
I really enjoyed the topics we had today. I think they're, I mean, obviously some are very just straight backs and what do you think about that? And then some are kind of like, this is not really baseball, but it's what's going on with the MLB right now.
Yeah.
So when we get a mix of that, it's a good day.
Yeah,
it's a good day.
It is. It's a good day. All right, well, that's it. We'll see you next week, and yeah, good luck.
Appreciate ya.
I'm rooting for those Cubs, but not really, because I do not want to take that spoonful of
I can't wait
sauce.
To see you chug down that Cholula.
All right, well.
Chug it.
It's not going to happen. 3, 2, 1. Peace out. Later.